Even with our high admiration for the prophets, because they said things that are important to say but hard to say, there are still times when it is near impossible to understand what they mean. Like when the prophet Jeremiah starts to talk about this real estate deal, right after the ink is still fresh on the closing documents, there in the 10th year of King Zedekiah and the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar, and those names don't mean much to us, but for them at that time, they were buzzwords for anxiety and uncertainty. Like if someone said today, "I am a child of the Depression," we would immediately be taken back to a day and time when life was extremely difficult. That Jeremiah is speaking to the people of God living in exile, displaced from the place that they knew, feeling separated from the God that they trusted. And he starts to talk about this real estate deal that he bought from his cousin, a field located there in his hometown of Anathoth. And he holds it up as a sign of hope, which leaves us scratching our heads. But in Wendell Berry's novel, Hannah Coulter, there is this scene that is quite touching, where Hannah's husband, Virgil, is home from the war. But the war is not yet over, so there is still this air of anxiety and uncertainty that covers everyone. And they're standing there holding hands, looking at the plot of land where they are going to build a house. And they're standing there envisioning their future together. And Virgil lets go of Hannah's hand just long enough to start picking up rocks from the ground and outlining where the house will sit on the ground, showing her where the front door will be and what the view from the back porch might look like, and where the kids' rooms will be in the house. That to purchase land is to look forward. It is about envisioning a future. And the people of God, there in exile, are unable to envision their future. They have lost a sense of their hope. And even though the prophet Jeremiah was not over there exiled with them in Babylon, he still faced despair himself, almost as if he was dealing with exile there close to home, because it says he was confined to the courtyard, living as a prisoner there in the royal palace under the watchful eye of the guards. That he had survived a plot against his life, the time where a priest had placed him in the stocks in the public square, making an example out of him. He had received death threats. He had been thrown into prison. He had been falsely accused and even maliciously thrown down into a deep cistern full of water, that he had spoken poorly of the king, and he had suffered for it. Yet, beyond the despair, he continued to look for hope. There is a short poem which reads, "Two men looked through prison bars. One saw mud, the other stars. that one of them looked through that window of the prison cell and just saw mud on the ground. Nothing outside of the jail that gave him any sense of hope. But the other one looked through a similar window, and he saw the stars in the sky as a sign of something good about the future. Well, the quiet, implicit challenge of that very short poem is not an either-or choice. It is not we either see the mud on the ground or we choose to see the stars in the sky. That hope is more than just ignoring the mud. Because if we live long enough, we know that there are times where life will not let us see anything but the mud in front of us. The challenge is to see both. But to let the hope of the stars speak to the challenges on the ground. Outside of Prague, there in the Czech Republic, there is a former concentration camp from World War II named Terezín. It is a place where tens of thousands of Jewish people were executed. Place of famine and fear, darkness and despair. But it was also a place of propaganda. It was meant to be a model camp where outsiders were brought in trying to convince them that the Nazi agenda was not nefarious, that there was some sense of accountability. But inside the camp, beyond that terrible illusion, the children that were kept there saw its stark reality. They witnessed the famine and fear, the darkness and despair. And we still have all of these writings and drawings from the children that were kept there. In one poem entitled "The Butterfly," we hear of the despair of a child who remembers seeing a butterfly, but then doesn't see them anymore. It's by Pavel Friedman, where it says, "The last, the very last, so richly, brightly, dazzlingly yellow. Perhaps if the sun's tears would sing against a white stone, such a yellow is carried lightly, way up high. It went away, I'm sure, because it wished to kiss the world goodbye. For 7 weeks I've lived in here, pinned up inside this ghetto, but I have found my people here. The dandelions call to me, and the white chestnut candles in the court. Only I never saw another butterfly. That butterfly was the last one. Butterflies don't live here in the ghetto." I cannot begin to imagine the depths of such despair or how goodness or hope can persevere. But in the words and drawings of these children, their goodness continues to shine through the darkness like a glimmer of light. In one drawing by Margit Karatzova, which is on the back of your bulletin, we have this beautiful drawing of this landscape of butterflies resting on the flower. You can almost imagine a little girl sitting out in a field under a beautiful blue sky, laid out on a blanket with crayons all around her, drawing this picture on a piece of paper, having the time of her life. But this drawing comes to us from this place of darkness, reminding us of how goodness and God's hope is subversive, that it can persevere and endure, that it speaks of a glimmer of hope, that it is admittedly so difficult to see both the mud and the stars, and somehow to say along with the psalmist, "You who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." That those words don't just roll off the tongue when we are seeing both the mud and the stars. That in the midst of brokenness, the best we can do is get up every morning and look for the light. That it's found in the people who will sit with us and share in our tears. It's found in the simple embrace of friends and family who will not let us go. And it's found in a church who will pray for us whenever we find it difficult to pray for ourselves. Reminding us that God is with us in the heartache and in the hardship, that when we need to scrape the mud off of our shoes at the end of the day so we can keep wandering outside to look up at the stars in the sky and see a glimmer of hope. Perhaps that is why whenever we gather in this room to worship, one of the first things that we do is to light the Christ candle, reminding us that against all odds, God's light reaches out into all darkness, giving us the strength that we need for today and the hope that we need for tomorrow. Amen.